Hopefully the rest of you talk as much as Lacey is back there. So John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. All right, we'll stop there. So last week we talked about being commanded to abide in Christ, and as a result, we will bear fruit. All right, so that is the expectation. All right, as a disciple of Christ or as abiding, being in the vine, fruit will be born. All right, and if there's no fruit, then we need to examine ourselves and ask why there is no fruit. because it's pretty clear in Scripture, and last week we looked at several passages in 1 John showing us that, there's really no middle ground. You know, we're either bearing fruit because we're in the vine, or we don't bear fruit because we're not in the vine. Now, we'll talk a little bit more today. So, second, we are meant to bear good fruit. All right, so I think I left you with the question, in what way do we have a choice in the type of fruit that we will produce? All right, and again, taking away like bad fruit. All right, that's not going to be part of our consideration. All right, because if you're in the vine, you're not going to, you won't. You know, we know Scripture says, "By the fruit you'll know them, whether saved, unsaved, follower of Christ, not." So we'll just kind of remove that from the equation for this discussion. Does that make sense? Yes, no. Some of you, yes. All right, so. Basically, I'm saying, I'm talking about Christians now, all right? Your faith in Christ. So, in that, as a believer, all right? So, as someone who is trusting Christ, following Christ, what choice do you have in the type of fruit that you will produce?
I think you have to have good fruit. However, there are different troubles that Jesus gave that the type of fruit you can produce 30, 60, 100%.
Okay, good. All right, so we have the different parables about different levels of fruit, the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or defined a little differently here and there, but yes. All right, good. So what do we make of that? Why is it that some only have 30, some have 60, some have 90 or 100 or whatever? What makes a difference in that? Okay. Perhaps the desire,
your walk.
All right. What else? All right. How much effort you put into it? Anything else? Yep.
I think so. It's whether or not you're using the specific gifts God is giving
okay.
you.
Okay.
Like you could be doing God's work, but not the work specifically He wanted you to do. So you're not going to be as successful as if you're doing a specific task He wanted you to be doing.
All right. Good. Anybody else have a thought?
The Holy Spirit.
All right, the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of you, within reason, how many of you felt like you tried as hard as you could in high school or college? Two of us? Come on. Three of us? All right. How many of you, let me bet, how many of you teach school or have taught school? All right, there's more of you then. All right, we'll go with that one. How many of you had students that tried their best but didn't get A's and hundreds on everything they did? No, Carmen? You know, your students, you never had one that really tried hard but didn't get, like, straight A's? Okay, yes. All right. So why is that? Why can a student try really, really hard and still get a C?
Scientific, but some people with right brain, left brain, some people with
Okay?
Alright. And sometimes as well the way the teacher addresses course.
Okay.
Because we have the experience of a girl like putting all her effort during high school and wasn't straight A, but then when she went to college and then she worked, like
she blossomed and did really well. Alright. Does everybody have the same IQ?
Nope.
No. No. I mean, a lot of it is, God made us all differently, and we have different IQs, we have different talents, we have different abilities, we have different mechanisms, different ways of learning. So, someone with an IQ of, 90, they're not going, the expectation for them can't be as much as someone with an IQ of 130. There's a disparity there. They can do their dead level best and really work hard and do everything within their grasp, but they still won't achieve the same as potentially someone at 130 degree that's doing their best and really pushing as well. So both of them are doing the same. They're both doing their best. They're both doing everything they can. But what would we say? Well, the 130 degree IQ person is more successful because they're producing more. Fruit. All right. So even what?
This is his fact being faithful with what?
Yes.
And what he's given you, this gift being
right. Man. So it, within the parable, the 30, the 60, the 90, a lot of that has to do with some are entrusted with much more talent and ability than others. And so, if you're faithful with few, then in the end, God's going to reward us equally or evenly somewhat. I mean, we'll all be rewarded. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, we also know that, depending on whether you wanted to take it literally or metaphorically, he also says, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities as opposed to I'll make you ruler over 5 cities. So at some point, there is more authority, more reward given to some than others. But again, we could argue maybe that's because some have put forth more effort and worked harder than others, and so they're going to be rewarded for the effort, not just their production. Does that make sense? All right. So I think it's kind of twofold. One, if you have more talent and abilities, the expectation is that you better produce more and you have a better opportunity of accomplishing more in your life for God. And if you do, do that, then you will be rewarded in eternity for that. But the person that, they worked just as hard, they did everything they could, that you might not see as much results in the temporary here, but God's going to reward them just the same in the future as well. Does that make sense? So as far as our choice and the type of fruit that we produce, I think it really comes down to, this idea of good, better, and best. We can all, I think as believers, we want to do good. That's kind of, as a follower of Christ, it's okay. We know the right, we know the difference between, straight, right, and wrong. We know that we should be kind. We know that we should be generous. We know we shouldn't cut people off in traffic. We know we shouldn't give somebody the middle finger when they do it to us, and on and on. Okay, it's like, we know that kind of thing. But is there more that we can do? Is there a better avenue? And then once we, as we grow from just the good to the better, do we see things as the Holy Spirit speaks to us and matures us? Then is there a level where we step from, okay, I know this is better, but I can, there's something even better than that, the best. And so in life, it's a growing process where we're willing to sacrifice good things to do even better things, that have a more potential to reach people. Just simple illustration, instead of just going, if you have an opportunity to, go door to door to hand out tracts or share the gospel, but you could go to the prison or to the juvenile detention center and you had 6 or 8 kids there, that were pretty much what would you call it?
Captive
a what?
Captive.
Yeah, captive audience. Well, what's the better option? You know, well, it's good to go speak to somebody one-on-one, but it might be better, your time better spent going to where you had 8 young people that you could speak to because you have more of an impact. You know, and then if you had an opportunity, you could go to a nursing home and have 30, 40, 50 residents in a room that want to be there, most of them. I know when I did nursing homes, sometimes they just push people in and they didn't want to be there. But for the most part, they wanted to be there, you know, and speak to them. Well, that increases your opportunity to impact even greater. So it's this idea of, you know, I can impact somebody one-on-one. I can impact a small group, a micro group, or I can impact a larger group. You know, spending the same amount of energy and time. And so that's how I choose. I choose how I'm going to do that. And so what fruit I'm going to bear from that. As well.
Steve,
yes?
I have an example. You know, I'm scheduled to go to the detention center next week. We take our turn. But I've always wanted to know, and I pray every time, that how can I be more effective? We get a half an hour, that's it.
Right.
So what I've decided, I mean, we used to go to Para 2, but we used to have the manpower right now. So I have other pastor friends, and they have expressed interest in going with me. So I'm going to start taking one of my pastor friends with me. They can give a short message.
Right.
15 minutes, 20 minutes. They have time for that. And they probably are more developed than I am in providing that message to the kids.
Right.
So we're always looking for a better way to do it.
Yeah.
So it would be more effective.
Right. And even in your all that we do, we should constantly be looking, how can I more effectively communicate, proclaim Christ, and get the word out? So, yes, you know, even one-on-one through, you know, my work experience and my work ethic. And
all my business.
Yes.
Same attitude. I praise God every day, and I ask him to bring people, and he does.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Brings people to me.
Yep, he will. You know, we see Jesus and Paul both admonish us to bear fruit that is recognized as good by God, other believers, and the unsaved as well. I love this verse, Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." All right, just as you look at that, what are some thoughts that come to your mind? That God's what?
God's equipped his people.
Okay. Yes, God has equipped his people. All right, what else? All right, yes. You know, as a follower of him, you know, when I'm his workmanship, you know, as I have put my faith and trust in him, the expectation now is that I do good works. You know, again, I don't really have a choice. You know, it comes back to that what we talked about a couple weeks ago. I can't say Jesus is my Lord, or my Savior, but not my Lord. You know, he's got to be both, because he bought me at that. You know, the point that I put my faith and trust in him, I've been purchased by him, and I owe him a debt, so I have to pay that debt. You know, we can, you know, even if we want to parallel that, we go back to the Old Testament. What does the Old Testament say about vowing a vow? Bowing a vow. So it's better not to bow than it is to make one and not fulfill it, right? You know, so the whole point when Christ has purchased us and we profess faith in him, I've got to live that out. I've got to follow through with that. Right? All right, what else do we see in here?
God prepared the opportunities or the works ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, just think about that. Is that not cool? That, like, there are good works that God has prepared that for tomorrow, for this week, next year. Like, there are things that he's going to bring things into my life with the expectation that I'm going to do the right thing and do a good work for him in that.
I think that in that last part, that we should walk in them, and that's our obligation.
Yes.
He's prepared. we must be faithful.
Yeah.
Back to faithfulness, and you think about the fruit that we're to exhibit. And I think, you know, there's some nuances there, like fruits of the Spirit versus Galatians versus the. Now I also think of gifting, like how we're gifted, like some are to be overseers, some are to be, you know, teachers, evangelists, so on and so forth, pastors.
Right. But yeah, that's a good point too, because, you know, God is going to give the opportunities for us to do good works, but do we always do good works? No. I mean, there are moments when we fail. You know, I know there are times that, you know, something's there and it's like, I feel like, okay, I probably should do this, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody comes up and asks me for money at Lowe's or whatever, and I don't know. If it happens to you or not, but sometimes I feel led to help, and then sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes I just feel like, you know, I don't feel like the Holy Spirit's really guiding me or not. But you know, there've been other times where I felt like He was like, yes, you know, you need to help this person, and there are times that I haven't, and then you know, you drive away going, man, I just blew it, like. I really think I should have helped them. And I feel like, you know, that was something that, you know, God had prepared something, a good work for me to do, and I missed it. I blew it. You know, there have been times that I circled back around and tried to find the person and say, you know, hey, you know, I just feel led like I need to give this to you and see if I can talk to him for a few minutes. So, again, it's this idea we've got to be following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And realizing that, you know, if when He does have, when He needs us to do that, He's going to make it happen or give us that opportunity to make it happen. But again, it's up to us to follow through and choose to do that. Good. Any other thoughts on this verse? Any other things you think about?
Amen.
All right, Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived, or don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. So again, just this promise of, you know, when you fail, what do? You get back up, and you keep trying. You know, I never really played football, but I love to watch football. And the reason I love to watch it is, I love to watch the plays, because what happens to the linemen? They all get, you know, somebody's gonna get knocked down. You know, they hit each other and somebody's going down at some point. But, you know, they don't just lay there and go, oh man, you know, he got me that time. I quit. You know, coach, I'm out. No, they get back up and then it's, you know, talking smack on you. Okay, you got me that time, but I'm going to get you now. You know, and it just motivates them to get back up and to fight harder kind of idea. Or, you know, the quarterback misses a throw and you can see on his face the disgust of, man, I can't believe I missed that. And then, you know, he doesn't just say, oh, take me out. No, it's, you know what, now I'm going to get the pass right next time kind of idea. You know, and I think we've got to implement that in our walk with Christ, that, no, I'm not going to get it right every time, but when I mess up, I just need to bounce back up and say, you know what, I'm not going to let that defeat me. I'm just going to continue, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to endure, I'm just going to keep going. And next time I'm going to get it right. I'm going to really try hard to get it right the next time. You know, and if I fail again, I'm still going to get back up. And, you know, they talk about the great defensive linemen, and, you know, they talk about, you know, I hate to be the tackle or the guard on that side because, you know, that guy always gets through. You know, it kind of stinks to be that guard or tackle that's having to protect yourself against, you know, like the pro linebacker that's, you know, going to, you know ahead of time, dude, man, you know, he's coming after me. You know, and just because he's a lot, and again, it comes back. If that pro linebacker is a whole lot better than you as the offensive guard or tackle, guess what? You're probably going to get beat most of the time, but that doesn't mean you quit. It just means you have to work even harder and try to change how you do things to try to keep him from doing that. So, That's our mindset. You know, if Satan attacks us, then you know what? I'm going to counter and, you know, I'm going to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, do something different. You know, and when Satan figures that out and then counters that, we just keep countering. You know, it's kind of like a chess game. And you just got to keep figuring it out till you get a checkmate. And, you know, ultimately, Christ is going to get the checkmate. And so we just need to keep following him and allowing him to guide us. John, would you pray for us this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering our fellowship today. I ask that you be with us the rest of the week, that we may be able to have the boldness from you to speak the word to others. I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.